Welcome to this rebroadcast of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. You know, Chuck, from time to time, we just pause for a moment to celebrate how God is using Money Life. And just the other day, we received a very encouraging email that I'd like to read before we get into the program.
Well, it encouraged my heart. I love to hear from our listeners, especially their testimonies. And this one is particularly touching because of the ramifications of believing God's word.
Well, this listener lives in Oklahoma, and she writes that she's been listening for about 4 years, and she's a missionary kid. So she grew up trusting God and learning how to give and not go into debt. But she says that she did not learn how to save for the future. As I listen to Howard Dayton day after day, she says, a wise man saves for the future, but a foolish man spends all he has. I realized I was foolish, and I started to put away a little at a time. And she goes on to say that as she was able to build up that savings, she received a call from her mother to come visit her in Hong Kong. They've been lifetime missionaries in Hong Kong. And she writes, knowing that we had a month of my salary saved gave me the security to leave my husband and two teenage sons, knowing the bills would be paid. Well, she went. She had a great time. Her mom turns 80 in December, and she's hoping to go back. And she concludes her email by saying, thank you for teaching me that a wise man saves for the future and other biblical principles.
Well, that is so encouraging because you see the ramifications of not only believing God's word, but how when you apply it, it blesses other people. And she was prepared to be able to go back and to serve her mother. I just love that story. It meant a lot to me. But you know, that's not a Crown financial principle. That's directly from God's word. What she was saying was she believed Proverbs 21:20. She believed it, and then it changed her behavior. And Dave, so often we get that backwards. You know, there's a lot of teaching out there that says if you will just behave correctly with money, then everything will be all right. And so they start with changing behavior. I call it behavioralism. And the emphasis is on what you do with money. But God's word says it's what you believe about money that will then change your behavior. She believed God was her provider. She believed that she should be generous. She was doing all those things. But she hadn't been taught that God said we should save. And once she learned that truth, her behavior lined up with God's word. That's what I want to talk about today, that what you believe about money will determine how you behave with money. And we're going to share some key stories of what God says we should believe.
Well, Chuck, I'm looking forward to that. You're listening to a Money Life rebroadcast from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of 6 short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, today we're going to spend some time just diving into Scripture and finding out what God's Word has to say about the differences between behaving correctly with your money and believing correctly about your money.
Well, that's a great way to put it, Dave, because I think we fail to realize that when you deal with financial issues, you're dealing with your worldview. You're actually behaving according to what you believe. Your behavior indicates what you believe. So as I observe how people use money, I can tell you that something inside their head, their mind, is causing them to be that way. And it's really pretty simple, Dave. Let's just use this scenario that has nothing to do with money. But why do you put gasoline in your car?
So the engine will run and I can drive somewhere.
Sure. So you can get where you're going, right? So you obviously believe that gasoline will make that happen.
Correct.
If I said, why don't you try water? It's a lot cheaper. It's more abundant. You know, you don't have to wait in line. Just put some water in your gas tank. Would you do it?
Not more than once.
Yeah, I hope not, because your mind would say, that's not true.
Right.
Chuck, I think you're lying. I'm being deceived here. Now, this is really important, although that sounds like a silly illustration. We do it all the time with money. All the time. Here's why. Because we don't know what God's word says about it. So we don't know what to believe. And if we don't believe the truth, then we've adopted an error or a lie, and we act that out. God said that we're sanctified. Let me read this. In John 17:17, the Lord said, sanctify them by the truth. Okay? Sanctification means we're set apart. We're made different. We're not the same as the world. Think about this for just a second. How are you sanctified? God just said, we're sanctified by what we believe. We're sanctified by truth. The world believes a lie. We believe the truth. So we're set apart because we're people of the truth. And then he goes on to say in the same verse, this is John 17:17, your word is truth. So Dave, if we're going to be set apart and be different from the world in how we behave, we have to start with what we believe, and we have to believe the truth. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Okay, don't be set apart in the world's pattern. Be set apart in God's pattern. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by what you believe. So transformation starts with what you believe. That's why I think it's so important that we know God's word and what God says about money.
Let me ask you a question in light of that. When you go back and you talked about behavior and that belief comes before behavior. Just take for an example, somebody decides they're going to do the right things. They're going to start saving money. They're going to pay down their debt, and they get in a habit of doing the right things. In most areas of life, if you get into a habit of doing something right, it continues. So you habitually do the right thing. Doesn't that kind of lead you to the same end result?
The answer is yes, Dave. You can behave in a way that is correct. You can do correct behaviors. But my contention is that you don't do those unless you believe those behaviors are correct. Go back to the illustration of putting water in your gas tank. Would you get in a habit of doing that unless you believed it was a good thing? Now, you may not know why it's a good thing. But you obviously would buy into the premise that's a good thing. So somebody says, get out of debt. Okay? You obviously must believe that's a good thing if you start to get out of debt and behave that way. Now, you may not know why, or you may not know why you should believe that, but you may be doing it. But ultimately, you have bought into the premise that that is a good thing to do, or you wouldn't do it.
Okay. But the end result is essentially still the same. I mean, I may not understand all the maybe theological background behind it, but I've accepted it in my heart that it's the right thing to do. Maybe it's presented to me as the wisest thing to do or the most prudent thing to do. And so I'm moving in that direction. I don't necessarily understand the theological ramifications. How does that harm me in the long term?
I would say it doesn't harm you, but when you're experiencing bondage in any area of your life, the first place to begin is to analyze what do you believe, because what you believe is probably the root cause of that bondage. So let's say you're not practicing prudent financial management. There's something you believe that's wrong that's leading you to that behavior. Now, let's say you're practicing good financial management and you're not in bondage. You may not even realize that you're practicing God's principles. You're practicing the truth. But how much more would you be liberated and effective if you understood God's truth behind it? Like this lady who wrote today. She changed her behavior because she realized that's what God wanted for her. She's probably going to become a saver. and realized the benefits of that. She could have been saving, but never realized that was God's best for her. In fact, there are some people who feel conflicted between saving and giving. They know what God said about giving, and I'm asked all the time, well, should I be saving money? Isn't that hoarding? I'm hanging on to God's money. Is that wrong? And they've missed that God wants you to do that as well.
When you kind of boil it down, isn't it what your end motivation is for doing it that makes a difference? For instance, if a person goes into all of the right behaviors, but their purpose for saving money is to become wealthy so they can get a bigger house or they can increase their wealth, they're doing the right activity, but the end result, their motivation, is to spend it on themselves.
Well, absolutely, Dave. I can point to thousands of examples, and our listeners will know some as well, that do all the right behaviors financially with the wrong motives, and they are not on God's path. They are not moving towards being stewards of the things that God's entrusted to them for His kingdom. That's why I think it's so important that we get rid of the idea that God's financial principles were created so that you could live the American dream. Some people believe that. Okay? So their behaviors look really good. Mm-hmm. But when they stand before the Lord, He's going to ask you, how did you use those resources? And I want our listeners to be prepared to say, I used them for your glory. I applied your principles. I was motivated by you and your truth, and they were for your purposes and your benefit, not my own. That's where I think God calls us to, Dave.
Well, Chuck, we've got to take a quick break. But when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about how to do a heart check when we're evaluating our motivation for applying God's principles to our finances. You're listening to Money Life, and we'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We're talking about the differences of belief and behavior when it comes to your money. And Chuck, in the last segment, we were talking about how to tell the difference between correct behavior and correct belief when it comes to our financial management.
Yeah, the issue is, if the end result is the same, does it really matter? And the answer is yes, it matters. The Lord said that He weighs the motive of the heart. And so people could be identically behaving the same way, doing the exact same behaviors, and one has no heart connection with God's truth, no motivation for God's kingdom, no desire to fulfill God's purposes for his life, even in the area of generosity, Dave. But the other is motivated by what he believes about God, and he's on the right path with how he's behaving with those resources.
Well, give us some examples of what you're talking about.
Well, here's an example from Malachi 3, when the Israelites said to the Lord, "It's futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape." What they're saying is, what did we gain? You know, the arrogant are blessed, evildoers prosper, and here we are trying to fulfill your word, and it's not helping. And the Lord said, he reminded them that in the last day, when I make up my treasured possessions, I will spare those who serve me. He said, and you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. So, Dave, one day there will be a separation. Your behaviors may have been the same, But the distinction will be, what did you believe that motivated those behaviors in the area of generosity, in the area of saving money? What motivated those behaviors? Were you truly believing what God said and trying to fulfill His purposes? Let me give you an example. Over the Christmas holidays, I was talking to a person who is a professional real estate agent. Now, this man has 8 children, and he's in the real estate business in a major metropolitan area. He is on total commission. Now, this was the end of 2008, and he told me the story that he went to the company party, and normally agents who work out of the house or stay real busy in the field, they don't get into the office much. Now, he worked in an office with hundreds of other real estate agents, and he went to the company party, and he was shocked at how much doom and gloom there was at the Christmas party in 2008. He really had no idea. And what he began to hear is that all these agents were struggling. Their sales were down. Their appointments were down. Their listings were down. Everything was down. Some of the top performers were no longer top producers. They were no longer, they weren't in the spotlight anymore. And he had been so busy working that he was oblivious to what was happening in their office. And so people began to ask him. And they said, "What are you doing? What's your secret? What is your formula? And please, you know, tell us. We're not busy. What's happening to you?" And what he said struck my heart. He said, "Well, I'm a man called by God to provide for my family and to work hard. And I've always believed that God was my provider. And He provided wonderfully through the good times. And He's obviously going to provide wonderfully through the bad times. I'm just trusting Him and doing my part every day. That's my formula." You know what I loved about that, Dave? He could have said, "Well, let me tell you my techniques. Let me tell you my behaviors." He told them his belief. He witnessed to what he was really about. He wasn't about the behavior that made him successful as a real estate agent. Although he had good disciplines, he was skilled, he was professional. But when at the moment of truth, what came out of his mouth was what was in his heart. He was believing God that he really had a faithful provider. It touched my heart. How many people would look at that and say, "You know, that man really believes what he says"? Mm-hmm. That's where God wants us to be. That's an example of how important it is to establish what you believe. Is God your provider? If you believe that, it will impact your behavior. It will eliminate some of the fear that others around you may have right now.
So what I'm hearing from you is there are some things going on behind the scenes that we can't see. But what you're also saying is that there are some evidences that right belief produces some immediate and tangible benefits for the person today.
Yes. Even if we took the story and it had a different ending, where he showed up at the Christmas party and he was the lowest producer and he had no business. And people would say to this man, "Well, wow, what are you thinking? What are you believing right now?" I think he would have said the exact same thing. Hmm. "God is my provider. That's who I believe. That's who I'm trusting. That's who I'm looking to." That belief will never change because of circumstances. But if I believe that, it will change how I behave. Because I can operate and do my job without fear, trusting that I'm honoring the Lord with what I've been called to do. And there's other examples of that, Dave, and ones that I think I need to give so that people understand more clearly how important it is that you are sanctified by believing the truth about money, that you're truly set apart for God's purposes by what you believe about what He's given you.
What are some other tangible benefits? What are some things that a person who believes correctly about their money can experience that the person who may be having the same behaviors won't experience?
Well, Dave, there's all kinds of tangible benefits that many times have nothing to do with money or the financial outcome. How about this, Dave? How about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, contentment, all the fruits of the Spirit? Because if you believe correctly, then you won't get yourself into bondage. And Dave, I've met people who've believed incorrectly, and I've seen the power of God's word to liberate that person from their error. And I want to give an example of one of those stories that really was dramatic. I saw it actually happen before my very eyes.
Well, we'll get to that story right after this. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and you can hear this program again in its entirety online at crown.org. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Of struggling to pay your bills every month? Not sure where your money's going? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't always to make more money. Often it's learning to manage what God has already given you. And Crown Financial Ministries has something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes is one of the most advanced online money management systems ever. It will help you easily create a home budget online in a secure environment and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you how much you have left to spend in any budget category. You'll have access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Chuck, as we wrap up the program today, give us some more examples of how our belief impacts our behavior.
Well, Dave, I was invited to speak at a small group Bible study that was about to kick off, and this whole group of people were going to do the Crown Small Group study together. And I just asked if there were any questions and what people were thinking before they started the study. And this one lady was there with her husband, and she raised her hand and she said, "Yeah, how do you feel about gambling?" And I said, "Well, I think it's going to be real important that you understand God's word about that." And I said, "Why do you ask?" And she said, "Well, my husband," and he was sitting in the room. He's very successful in his field. He does quite well. But we don't have as much money as everybody else we run around with. So I have an investment strategy that I'm working, and it involves gambling. And I said, "Well, what are you doing?" She said, "I buy lotto tickets every week, just a certain amount. I don't overspend. I'm not addicted. But I believe there'll be a day when I hit 7 lucky numbers and all of our worries will be over." And I remember thinking, there's a false belief. Now, our listeners are with me right now. They're going, okay, she believes something wrong right there. She believes two things. First of all, she believes that the more money she has, the more content she was going to be. That's the first wrong belief. And the second one is she believes in luck. And I looked at her and I said, "Here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to go through this Bible study. And at the end of the 10 weeks, when I come back, I want you to tell me if God has changed your mind about what you believe." When I came back to that Bible study, Dave, she looked at me and she said, "I cannot believe what I said to you in front of this whole group and in front of my husband. My heart has been completely changed. I was coveting the things of this world and devised a scheme for the Lord to provide more than I really even needed. I have a wonderful life. I'm able to put my kids in private school. And I was telling my husband he didn't provide enough. And I'm sorry and I apologize to him. And I'm sorry before the Lord that I believed that God was going to give me 7 lucky numbers. Chuck, I don't even believe in luck anymore, much less buying lotto tickets." Now, Dave, that's the difference between condemning behavior and analyzing what you really believe. Because if you analyze what you believe, then you're liberated and your behavior changes as well. And that's what I want our listeners to see, that we're sanctified by God's word. His word is the truth.
Well, Chuck, I think we've just probably scratched the surface on this topic, and I'd like to go a little deeper in tomorrow's program and dive into the scriptures a bit more to see what God's word has to say about belief and behavior.
I'll be happy to do that, Dave, because I think it's so important that we trust and rely upon God's word, especially now when we're all being tested. Are we going to hold firm to believing his word?
Very true. Well, that wraps up this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. For Chuck Bentley and the entire staff, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.